That night, it began to rain, and it turned cold. Cormac's cloak kept me alive on that long journey, plain and true. Without it, I would have shivered myself into illness, sleeping in the open. I wanted to thank him one day. Thinking that, I felt odd for a moment, and it puzzled me. Then I realized what the feeling was, and I blushed. I had been angry at Cormac, even though he hadn't meant to betray me. His advice had guided me straight into the Baron of Athenry's path. I hoped to see Cormac again, and it had little to do with thanking him. I liked him. I remembered Bebbin and Tully smiling at each other, then blushed again, embarrassed by my own foolishness. If I was going to be drawn to a boy, surely I had more sense about it than my Aunt Fallon. Cormac was the younger brother of Fallon's beloved Brian. They were both sons of a man my father hated, an enemy. I ate only small bits of my food to stretch it. My hunger would not keep me from following Dunsid any more than our usual winter hunger had stopped me from working at home. I was used to having an empty belly, though not usually this time of year. At home, there would still be plenty of cheese and milk, and last month's harvest of wheat and barley meant bread in every house. Thoughts of food made my mouth water. I stopped thinking about it. I often got close enough to see Dunsid. The rope was slack now. She was smart and had learned that dragging at it was useless. She carried her head high and proud, and her gait was like her mother's had been, graceful and swift. Now and then she would stop and turn to look back down the path, as if she knew I was following. I knew if I called her name, she would try to run toward me, but the men would chase her down. She was only a weanling, after all. We could not outrun their horses. As I had so many times at Connell's Barns, I longed for her to grow up, to be able to carry me, swift as wind, so that no one could keep us anywhere against our will, ever again. The tracks joined a path. Then the path became wider and deeper. It diverged into two tracks that ran parallel over the land. I saw four carts in the distance that day. The paths near my home were thin, not wide enough for two people, much less two horses. Later that day, I smelled bitter forge smoke. We had to be getting closer to Athenry. My first glimpse of the castle came from between the branches of a holly tree. I had climbed it to see what direction the Baron and his men were taking, to see if I should run and catch up, or if I should stay back. Framed by stiff, prickly holly leaves, I saw a wide meadow full of late summer grass. The little caravan of horses and men, leading Dunsid away from me, were crossing it, headed toward an arched gate set into the stone walls of Athenry town. The Clarine River ran through it on the east side. The castle amazed me. As my father had said, it jutted out from the town wall. From my tree, it looked like a small circle perched on the edge of a much larger one. Its walls were a good deal higher than the town walls, and much thicker. It was the biggest building I had ever seen, by far. It seemed impossible that stone could be laid that high without it falling in. There was a strange slanting wall all around its base, like a vast apron of smooth stone. The gate was wide enough for the riders to remain side by side. I could see the arches and peaked windows of the priory by the river, and a cluster of houses and byres sprawling across the enclosed fields behind it.